As we think about the question, why seminary, there's someone that I really want you to meet. Bye, Abby. Bye, Abby. He was already introduced in the pastoral ministries department. His name is Dr. Reg Grant. But the first thing that I want you to know about him is that I took a course from him, and immediately he did two things. One, he said, call me Reg. Just call me Reg. That's my name. And then, before we even looked at the syllabus, he gathered all the students in the class, pushed the chairs to the edge by the wall, and we all got on our knees, and we just prayed. And we just prayed for the class, and we prayed for each other, and we prayed about the Lord's direction in our lives, and we prayed about being good, godly servant leaders. His impact on me and on my wife will be for eternity. And I'm delighted to have him come up and share a little bit with you about why seminary. So Reg, come on up, friend.
Thanks, bud. Good afternoon. Thank you. I slept and dreamed that life was beauty. I woke and found that life was duty. Was thy dream then a shadowy lie? Duty and dreams. Obligation and desire. Duty is the obligation to fulfill your responsibilities. Duty is the obligation to fulfill your responsibilities. A desire, or dreams rather, dreams express the desire of your deepest yearnings. Duty and dreams. And we're often presented with the idea that these two are competing, that they're mutually exclusive, but they need not be. And for Christians, they shouldn't be. When the Lord Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," in John 19:30. He was signaling the closing of the transaction that satisfied God's righteous requirements for a perfect sacrifice. But there was a lot more going on in those words and in that action than simply the closing of a legal transaction. Jesus, in his death and resurrection, in his finished work on the cross, closed the gap between sinful man and a righteous God. Jesus closed the gap between law and grace. Jesus closed the gap between duty and dreams. Because he was God in the flesh. Because the delight of his heart and his duty were one and the same. Now, where are you? What are your dreams? What vision has God given you for what he might want to do in your life? I want to pretend for just a minute that we have a crystal ball set in front of us. OK? Okay, you've got a crystal ball there at your table. And you're able to look inside that crystal ball. And you're able to see 4 or 5 years down the road. And you are living the dream that God has given you. You're living it out. What does that look like? I had a student not too long ago, and I was visiting with her about her dreams, and she shared with me that not too many years before that, she had been asked that very question, crystal ball, dreams, what does it look like, by some advisors that she had in her undergrad program. She had never been asked that before. And so she said, wow, this is great. Here's my heart. Here's what God has poured into my mind and my soul. This is what I'd love to do. And when she was done, you know, they sat there and they nodded, they folded their arms, and they said, okay, now you need to forget all of that. And you need to go to the mission field and serve God if you want to be in His will. There is nothing wrong with a mission field. I go there as often as I can. I love mission work. But that advice, as well intentioned as I'm sure it was, isn't good advice unless she's called to the mission field. It ignores the truth of Psalm 37:4. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He is going to give you the desires of your heart. Which brings us to our question. Why seminary? And why in particular Dallas Seminary? The first answer you already have on your wrist. The first answer is a watch. Why seminary? Why in particular Dallas Seminary? First answer is a watch. You're going to be wearing this all day. Every time you look at it, I want you to think of this. The first answer for why seminary, why Dallas Seminary, ticks away the time of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, and every single tick is a gift from God. You only have so many ticks in your ticker to devote to Him. You want to invest your time, however much time God has given us, each second being a gift, wisely. If you are here and you're maybe my age or a little bit younger or a little bit older, and you're thinking, well, you know, here I am in middle age and I got a lot of ticks on the backside. And don't have, you know, I think about seminary, good night, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Okay, look in your crystal ball, go 5 years down the road, and look back. The same 5 years have passed, whether you're in seminary or not. At the end of those 5 years, will you be glad that you gave up the opportunity to train and establish a foundation for the rest of the ticks that God has given you, or not? The second right answer is a dollar bill. Yep, we're all painfully aware of dollar bills these days. We use these to buy things we want. We use these to invest in a stock market that won't ever go down. We use these to purchase equities. What, you know, lots of things you can use a dollar bill for. What are you going to invest in? What is the greatest ROI you could ever expect to get? The greatest return on investment. How much greater a return on investment could there be than an investment in an education in a theological institution like DTS, where you are going to not only learn about God, but you are going to have a time, a tick of the clock set aside in your life where you can focus on an in-depth analysis of his word. And as you discover in this magical, wonderful word, the person of Jesus Christ, you are drawn inexorably to a tighter relationship with him. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. You could come here and fill up your head with knowledge so that you won't fit through those double doors going out. And be impressed, like Chuck was talking about in chapel this morning, with how much you know and how much they don't. It's part of our job to help you keep it down to size and recognize, as you will come to do. Shannon was just telling us this at our table. The more you know, the more you find out, the more you realize that it is an endlessly deep ocean. And by the time you finish your seminary career here and you are a master of theology, you feel like you have taken a teaspoon of wisdom from the ocean. And there's so much more to discover. Invest wisely your time. Invest wisely your bucks. The third answer for why seminary, and in particular, why Dallas? I'll bet none of you have with you, but I want you to go out and buy a pair. Dancing shoes. You need a pair of dancing shoes because God has invited you to the great dance. And there is music here. If you're willing to hear it, let him who has ears to hear the music hear. While you're in the middle of all your great deep discussions about theology and prelapsarianism and you're trying to decide, you know, whether the world was created in 6 or 6.5 days, you need to take time to enjoy the ride. It's not the destination, it's the ride, folks. It's like Chuck said. I mean, in some other venue, he said, it's time to put the fun back in fundamentalism. You know, we've got to have a delightful trip along the way. Take time out to enjoy the ride. My main delight while I have been here has been the people. My friends who are here. Jim Hoover sitting back there at the control booth, and I have been friends for a long time, since the mid-70s. There are so many that are here. Dr. Pentecost. I mean, you think guys like Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost are kind of unapproachable? Go ask him out for a hamburger. He has to eat. Go ask Dr. Campbell when he's on campus. I went up one time, I asked Dr. Walvert. I was a student. I mean, he didn't know me from Adam. I went up and I said, I just went up. I just thought, well, you know, what can he do except probably throw me out of school or something? So I went up and which he wouldn't have done that. I went up and I said, do you want to go get, is there any chance I could schedule a meeting with you? And he said, well, sure. He said, theology professors enjoy a good greasy hamburger. Let's go get one. And we got, and that was the beginning of a relationship and a friendship with Dr. Walvert that lasted for a long time, just because I went up and asked him if he wanted to go get a bite to eat. See, it's the people. When you think of DTS, you think not. It's DTS is more than courses and buildings and fine-trimmed lawns. It's you. It's you who love the Lord. It's you who know what God can do in a solitary life because he's doing it in yours. It is not the size of the man or the woman that counts. It's not even the size of the dream. Rather, it's the size of the God that gives the dream to the man, to the woman. When the Lord Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he was signaling the close of this transaction and the ultimate fulfillment of his duty and his desire. He used a word when he said finished. That little word finished, we get our English word, our English adjective telic from that word finished. Something that is brought to a fruitful conclusion. So what I want you to remember from this, the one command I give you, is do your duty. D-U-T-Y. Dance to your ultimate telic yearnings. That's what Jesus did. Dance to your ultimate telic yearnings, those yearnings that are pulling you closer to Him. I slept and dreamed that life was beauty. I woke and found that life was duty. Was thy dream then a shadowy lie? Toil on, sad heart, courageously, and thou shalt find thy dream to be a noonday light and a truth to thee. Duty and dreams. God can work through both of them to help you realize a fulfilled life here at Dallas Theological Seminary. Welcome to the dance. Thank you.